Hello and welcome. This is Erin Matlock, founder and CEO of BrainPages, the world's first brain-friendly directory and community. You can find education, brain games, and ongoing discussion by visiting www.brainpages.org. And if you're a practitioner or brain-friendly business owner, you can add your listing to our directory by visiting www.addyourfreelisting.com. My guest today is Alex Doman, founder and CEO of Advanced Brain Technologies, a leading provider of products which improve sound brain fitness with solutions for consumers, schools, therapy clinics, healthcare facilities, and the military. Alex has teamed up with best-selling author Dawn Campbell to write the brand new book, Healing at the Speed of Sound. Thanks for joining me today, Alex.
Erin, it's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
So I want to start this interview out with my top question. What is Healing at the Speed of Sound about?
Well, you know, music is really an intrinsic part of who we are. It's a biological fact of our life as humans. So the book is about your relationship to sound, and it makes the case for sound as the missing, unrecognized pillar of health. We want readers to understand how to move away from noise, to find moments of silence in their life, and to create a healthy sound diet. There's no other book like it, Erin. With the web links that we provide, nearly 100 links to additional content, music downloads, an interactive website that works with the book, nothing like this has been done before in the field of sound, music, and self-help.
And that's something I wanted to talk to you about. For those of you who are listening to this and you're in front of your laptop or on your iPad, you can follow along with us at www.healingatthespeedofsound.com. And it's an interactive website with video. There is a preview of the book. And as Alex mentioned, when you purchase this book, correct me if I'm wrong, there is what's the word I'm looking at? The one with the links and enhanced version.
There's all sorts of versions of the book.
Okay.
the book is coming out in hardcover.
Yes.
And the hardcover book contains hyperlinks. So you're reading through and we show different icons in the book, eyeballs, ears, and light bulbs. And
okay.
The eye links you to video. Ears link you to music or interviews. And the light bulb links to interviews or web-based content or research articles in a written form. So in the book, you actually have the URLs.
Okay.
Then in the ebook and in the enhanced ebook, you then have those URLs embedded within those formats. And even when you listen to the audiobook, the reader Jim Bond in the audiobook version gives you those links so that you can move from the pages of the book and dive deeper into multisensory content.
So this is not your mother's book. This is about the new digital type of media that we all love to consume, and it's something I don't often see when I read books. Occasionally I'll see a URL in there, but this is truly an interactive experience, whether you're ordering the hard copy or you're doing the digital enhanced version.
Yeah, this is actually the first book of its kind like this, Erin. When Dawn and I were working on the concept for the book and discussing our ideas for a challenge with content like this, when we look at neuroscience and we look at music effects research and how quickly the science and information is evolving in the field, that often books are outdated by the time they go to press. So the only way for us to keep the content fresh and to keep the reader engaged is to actually have an interactive format that then takes them to a website that will continue to update and adapt and expand on the information that's in the book, so the book actually remains relevant for many, many years for the reader.
And
when
awesome.
We conceived this, this book format actually didn't exist yet in an enhanced form that was fully multisensory, multimedia.
And of course, I would only expect that from you. Tell us a little bit about Don Campbell, your co-author.
Well, Don Campbell is, you know, really one of the leading minds in music education. He is a musician, a composer, an organist, a pianist, a singer, a music teacher, a writer who's written over 20 books. Most notable would be The Mozart Effect, which was the best-selling book in the late 90s, that really made the case at the time for using music in your life to improve your health and to improve your children's education. Now, when he wrote that book, that was at a time that the field was largely anecdotal in terms of observations about the impact of sound and music in our life. And in the past 15 years, this field that was largely anecdotal has gone to good, hard science. So today, in Healing at the Speed of Sound, we go much deeper and grounded in the good science that's happened over the last 15 years to further this discussion. So Don has really been a pioneer in this field for a long time, and I've been just so privileged to have the opportunity to partner with him on this project.
I think that's great. And I want to backtrack just a little bit and explain anecdotal evidence as compared to more solid research-based evidence. We have consumers on the line, but we also have professionals who know that difference, but just so we can kind of get that straight.
Well, anecdotal, you know, is, for example, you know, Aaron, you know, I listened to this music today and found it very relaxing. That must be decreasing my stress levels.
Right.
That's the anecdotal. So these are personal reports or clinical observations that somebody is listening to something and we see this behavioral change. When we look at science, we're looking at well-designed studies that set forth a hypothesis and then in many cases are trying to disprove the hypothesis to see what in fact is the case. So now, rather than just knowing that music makes us feel good, we have evidence to show that that feeling good comes from an increase of dopamine levels in the brain, and that there can be studies designed to measure the dopamine and to look at, through functional imaging, areas of the brain that are activated in response to sound and music and begin to draw some more scientific conclusions about what's happening. So now, with the advances in functional imaging, we can look at what's physically happening in the brain in response to sound. And through better behavioral testing, we can see what those changes, in fact, are. And with different psychometric and psychophysiological measures, really see what's going on in our brain and body chemistry rather than just an observation that something has happened. So that's really the big difference, is that we've got good science by leading research institutions delving into the effects of music in our life.
And this is going to be really important going forward, too, because I know in this, the brain health niche, the attempts to get health insurance coverage for certain types of therapies, for certain types of programs, that all relies on sound, solid, demonstrated research. So as we move forward, that's going to be very helpful.
Yeah,
and I think we're a ways off from that, but definitely at least we can see it.
We're closer than you might think, Erin.
Well, then that's better news than I was hoping for. So at least it's coming.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Now, with this book, Healing at the Speed of Sound, who benefits from this? Who can benefit?
Well, Don and I wrote this book as a practical self-help book with easily accessible information so that the general reader, the general public, can read even a page or two into the book and immediately make a change in their life and their relationship to sound. For those that want to delve deeper into the research, There are over 400 cited references in the book that allow people to take a deeper dive. So when we, you know, mention a study on the effect of dopamine in the brain, for example, in response to music, you can then go to that research reference and find that specific study, or just, you know, appreciate what's there within the text. We've written the book to cover the lifespan from pre-birth through the senior years, and to how you start your morning, to how you spend your day with sound, and the impact and relationship of sound even during our sleep. So this is a book written for everybody.
Hmm. Okay, so let's talk about noise in particular, and let's go back to that impact. What impact does it have on our health?
It's interesting you bring that question up. I recently reviewed a report from the World Health Organization that has cited noise as the second leading environmental cause of ill health in Europe, only secondary to air pollution.
Pollution, yeah. How about that? I mean,
if we could see noise, there is no way we would tolerate it. You know, I remember when I was young living in Southern California, and at times the air pollution was so thick that I could be on Highway 10 and could not see downtown Los Angeles. You know, today we've got relatively clear skies in LA. You know, big strides have been made to improve air pollution in quality of the air that we breathe in our life. But what's happening with noise is that the level of noise continues to increase with more technology and growing populations, and we really need to bring awareness to the huge impact that this has on stress disorders, on our sleep patterns, on our children's ability to learn. In this World Health Report, they actually attribute noise as a cause of cardiac death.
Wow.
So the statement that noise kills is a very true statement according to this report. This is a chronic health issue that the public must be absolutely aware of. We've got to reduce the noise in our life.
So how do, going off a little bit into my world of, I like to go into my magical world of what I want life to be, how do we start dealing with that for our listeners who live in large cities where they just can't escape it?
Well, the good news is that we can do small things to improve the quality of our sound environment. And I think we should look at it as our sound diet, Aaron. You know, we make a choice about the food that we ingest. We can choose to eat trans fats, or we can choose to eat fruits and vegetables and natural organic foods. This is a choice that we make. Not a choice that's easy for everybody economically, but nonetheless, as people, we have a choice about what we put into our body. Now, sound is another thing that's going into our body like food. The difference being, sound's going into our body 24/7, 365.
Right.
There is not a moment in our life that sound and vibration is not impacting who we are. So, first of all, we make a choice about where we live. That is a choice in life. We choose our surroundings. We choose our environment as adults. For those that are living in urban areas and living within cities, you know, the first place to take control is in your living space. So how do you reduce the noise where you live? You know, you play soothing music in the background. You keep electronic devices off when you're not using them. You make conscious choices about, you know, the noise level of devices in your environment. When you're in public spaces and it feels too loud, too noisy, while not a great fashion statement, you can wear noise reduction headphones. And noise reduction headphones can be worn to actually block out some of the noise in the environment, or, you know, inexpensive option is $1.29 foam earplugs that you can wear if you're in a noisy setting, such as the subway, or when you're taking other public transportation. Those little earplugs will reduce the noise level by 29 decibels and actually help preserve your hearing and reduce your stress. We can use personal listening devices or our smartphones to play soundtracks of music at low sound levels that help serve as a filter to block out some of the noise in the environment and to have healthy benefits for us while we're listening to them. You know, to make choices about the sound that we're using during our commute, in our own workspace. So there are things that we can do, but the first step really, Aaron, is sonic awareness. Just take inventory and take stock of the sound in your environment and rate yourself. You know, are you in a healthy environment? Are you in a noisy environment? If you're irritated by the sound, then it may be having a negative impact on you.
Okay, so let's look at pregnancy. And how important is the sound environment for a woman who is pregnant?
Well, this is an interesting topic because Chapter 3 in Healing at the Speed of Sound is largely about the prenatal experience and just after birth. You're aware I have a 20-month-old son, Brendan.
I do.
And we actually chronicled Brendan's experience with sound throughout the pregnancy and until today. The sound environment is absolutely crucial and vital to manage the mother's stress levels so that we want to keep noise down and stress levels low for a healthy fetal environment. You know, there's great concern over stress levels in pregnant mothers having a negative effect on the neurological development of the fetus. And by keeping the stress levels low, by giving mom a healthy sound environment is the first step. But something few people may realize is that the first sense to fully develop in human beings is the auditory sense. So this organ that controls not only our hearing, but our movement and a sense of where we are in space and our balance and equilibrium, our vestibular portion of our ear, all develops starting during the second trimester. And it's the only sense to be fully functional at an adult state in utero. So we have to understand in our brain development, the first sense is sound. The fetus hears not only the internal sounds of the mother, but their external environment. The fetus hears the father, other family members, stress in the environment, positive sound in the environment, and our first learning takes place in utero. The research is absolutely overwhelming today about the role of auditory development in our unborn children. So it sets the stage for their neurodevelopment for the rest of our life.
So this is an extremely critical time, and it's something that I don't think is really general knowledge. Correct?
No, and it needs to be, and now it will be in the book.
Yeah, well.
Because we really haven't put a big emphasis on this, and having just gone through this as a first-time biological father, we paid intense interest on the sound environment in our home to minimize noise and to create positive sonic experiences for Brendan while he was developing in utero.
Wow, the lucky little boy.
Well, we're lucky parents.
I know. Now, let's go to one of my favorite topics, which is happiness. And why is it that certain music can make us happy?
Well, you know, Aaron, we love music as people, and we love it because it can give us positive feelings.
Right.
Very much the same positive feelings as we can get looking at a beautiful landscape or painting, the taste of great dark chocolate or a beautiful Cabernet from Napa Valley, or when we're having intimate moments with a lover. These are experiences that make us feel good. And they feel good because the brain releases dopamine in these moments that we feel happy, that we feel good. So now the research shows us, just like chocolate, wine, great art, and sex, that the right music can actually increase these dopamine levels and create happiness and give us chills. So this is part of our natural wiring and our natural chemistry that the brain responds to music in a positive way, that it releases these feel-good neurotransmitters in the brain.
And these are the same neurotransmitters that so many of us have to rely on prescriptions to alter and to work with. And it's, I find it very interesting, and I've read a great deal of research about exercise and its ability to, you know, to affect our those neurotransmitters. And it's very interesting to see all of the things that come together, the, all the different forms of treatment that we can use.
Yeah, I mean, we naturally look for non-pharmacological means to regulate ourselves, to maintain homeostasis.
Sure.
And to be healthy. So, you know, I think more and more as a society, we're looking for natural alternatives. And sound happens to have been with us since the start of man. Music is believed by many musicologists and anthropologists to have existed before language, you know, as an early proto-language preceding language as we know it today. So music is very much a part of who we are. Our voices were our first instruments, and we've been using sound since the start of mankind to regulate our health. And what's happening now is we have a movement going back to the beginning, taking control of sound in our life and using sound as a positive influence, as an alternative to drugs and other forms of medicine.
That's fantastic. It's a full circle we're coming into. Let's talk about focus. And I always am looking to improve focus, get more work done. What's the best music to use if I'm looking to really get some laser focus, improve my work performance?
Well, what Don and I have found in our research and in our own experience as music producers, you know, Don for, you know, over 25 years, and for myself close to 20, is that we've broken sound into three basic categories, and you can think of them as gears. First gear, second gear, and third gear. First gear are these sounds that calm and help reduce stress. So these are lower frequency sounds at slower tempos, so very simple, soothing music for calming and relaxation and reducing stress and anxiety in our life. Direct to your question of what we can use to improve focus or concentration, and this leads into the executive functions in the frontal cortex of the brain, we're looking at second gear. And these are mid-range frequencies or tempos measured in beats per minute. And the ideal range that we're observing in the literature in our own work are tempos of about 50 to 90 beats per minute, more specifically in the range of 50 to 70 beats per minute. And the most effective music in that category would be from the Baroque music period. So many of the compositions by Vivaldi, Corelli, or Bach are ideal. You know, so for example, the Goldberg Variations of J.S. Bach would be something wonderful to use to increase your focus. But it's very important that you play this sound not at a listening level, but at a background level. So it's just supporting you, and you're not actually attuning in and listening to it per se, but just letting it support you during your task. Then if you want something, Aaron, that's going to be more motivating or create more energy, you'd go to faster tempos and a broad range of sound frequency, from low frequencies to high frequencies, so something very upbeat. In the book, we recommend the guitar duo Rodrigo y Gabriela, who play a very fast tempo, large range music on acoustic guitar with a Spanish style. That is very good to get heart rate up and to get energy levels increased.
So what would you say, maybe that's what I would use in the morning if I'm struggling to kind of get moving, coming into the office and just kind of, right, you open up the email and you try to start the day?
Well, we need you to read chapter one in the book, How to Start Your Day with Sound, because we actually give you the tools to create your sound diet. And that is to use music in your playlist today more effectively to create your own soundtrack. So we literally will help you, Aaron, and the other readers know how to start the day with the right music to get your morning going, to accompany your workout, to help you have a stress-free commute, to improve your productivity in the workplace, and to make that transition back home in the evening, and to choose the right sound to help regulate your sleep so that we get your body into a good rhythm to be most effective and productive. So all of those tools and recommendations are in the book, and there are things you can immediately apply without going out and buying anything. You just use these exercises, go to the music that you have, learn how to categorize it in first, second, and third gear, and you build your playlist with the music you already know and love. We just help you to use it more effectively.
Okay, I like that. So this is a very personalized program. It's not a one-size-fits-all, and I get to kind of pick and choose according to my taste.
It's all about your taste, and we all have such diverse musical taste that it first of all has to feel good to us, and the music has to feel right for the context. So if the music feels out of place to us for a particular use, we're actually going to resist it, and it's going to have a detrimental effect on our performance. So I can't decide for you what's right for Erin to improve her focus. What I can do is tell you what the data suggests and what we have learned as producers and in my work at Advanced Brain Technologies works best. But again, it is very individual.
Okay, so you guys have heard it here. Alex Doman is not going to personally choose my playlist. He's going to make me do it, but he is going to help me along.
Absolutely.
So I've got a little work to do. Okay, now I understand that the listening program is being used with wounded warriors. Can you tell me about that program?
I can. The listening program is a music listening therapy method developed at Advanced Brain Technologies that uses a proprietary music recording and production technique to modify the music in order to help regulate stress levels and improve cognitive performance. In the particular situation of our Wounded Warriors, which you know is a program getting tremendous attention here in the United States, we have so many warriors that are in need of help for post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injury from all these blasts and other injuries that the military is desperate for solutions to help these warriors. So we have worked with a handful of U.S. Army bases in order to build programs to help these soldiers deal with their stress levels and regain their auditory discrimination skills to help to recover some of the cognitive function that's been lost and be happier and better able to regulate and manage their own stress. And we're hopeful that we'll see this on an expanded basis. Advanced Brain Technologies just received its official GSA contractor number. So we are now a contractor for the federal government.
Oh, wonderful.
And the listening program, along with our bone conduction technology, is actually now approved for use through all federal agencies. So now we have and not to be confused with the FDA, but through the General Services Administration of the U.S. government, now these different branches of the military and other government offices can actually access this technology without all the red tape that we've gone through for the bases where it is now. But we have been really, really very encouraged through some of the stories that we've seen with the soldiers that have benefited from the music and hope that we're going to be able to reach a whole lot more now that we have this GSA approval.
Congratulations on that, and thank you for that. It's it is a segment of our population who need our support. They need our love. They need our care. And it's wonderful when companies like yours really reach out and do the work, because it is not cheap to in matter of resources, all sorts of resources to get these programs through and get them used. And I think it's wonderful, and I really congratulate you on that.
Well, thank you. It's a subject close to our heart. You know, my grandfather, he was a rehabilitation physician who started his career during World War II at Walter Reed in Washington, D.C., treating soldiers that suffered from these injuries nearly 70 years ago. So to have that come full circle and to have us be able to deliver a music-based intervention for these soldiers to help them recover from these very deep and these very real wounds. And it's hard because a lot of these wounds aren't visible.
No.
These are invisible wounds in the brain. And it's hard for the soldiers to deal with that. It's one thing if they've lost a limb and there's a visible sign of what's happened. Mm-hmm. But when it can't be seen, we see a sense of insecurity in admitting that this has happened because these are warriors. They are strong. They are well-trained military personnel. And the pain that comes with dealing with that type of injury is very unique from something that's physically visible. And the music is something that really touches them in a deep way and helps them come back and recover.
I think it's wonderful, and I know that we have wounded warriors listening, and I just want to thank you for your service, and I want you to go ahead and, you know, ask about this program because it's so beneficial, and know that we support you. Okay,
yes,
Alex, so tell me what's on the horizon for Advanced Brain Technologies? What's new?
Well, we've obviously Healing at the Speed of Sound. The book, is just coming out, so we're very excited about that. And Don Campbell and I have teamed up with my company, Advanced Brain Technologies, and Spring Hill Music to produce a line of music for Healing at the Speed of Sound. So we've actually produced two albums, Volume 1, Calm and Relaxing, and Volume 2, Focus and Vitality, which can be used as a companion to the book for our listeners. So we're really excited to be able to introduce new music that allows people to not only take the playlist that they develop from their personal music library, but also Don and I give them a little bit of a head start with this, you know, early series of music, which we see expanding over time. And we've got some big announcements coming. You know, the vision for our company, as you shared at the start of our conversation, is to transform the life of every person by making sound brain fitness universally attainable. And we have made great strides toward achieving that vision and are excited in coming weeks and months to reveal what it is we've been working on to reach it.
Okay, so you're not going to tell us
say more
a secret. Now. Yep. Just a little tease, but it's exciting. I happen to have a little bit of intel, and there are some really fascinating things on the horizon from Alex and his team, and I'm excited. I'm excited for those to go public.
So are we.
Okay, for those of you on the call interested in learning more about Healing at the Speed of Sound and purchasing a copy of the new book, please visit www.healingatthespeedofsound.com. I want to thank my guest, Alex Doman, for spending this time answering my questions. And again, if you'd like to learn more about music and its effect on your brain, please visit www.healingatthespeedofsound.com. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Erin Matlock. Thank you, Alex, for being here.
Erin, thank you for having me. It was fun as always.
It's always. I love talking to you, Alex. I love what you're doing. All right, everyone, have a great day. See you soon.